Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Wednesdays we do a teaching on wisdom. And so that's where we're at tonight. We're going to look at the wisdom on Wednesdays. And we're looking in Proverbs chapter 4. You know that Jesus himself in the book of Luke chapter 11, Jesus himself said specifically, he said the written word of God, the Bible, is actually the wisdom of God. He called it. So if you have a Bible on your phone or in your hands or in your home, that is where the wisdom of God is found. It's right there in the written word. The written word of God is the will of God, and it's the wisdom of God. And so Jesus called it that. He called the written word of God the wisdom of God. So we have access to his wisdom. Remember, wisdom is thinking like God thinks. It's talking like God talks. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. So we go to the Word of God to learn God's ways, and God's ways are so different from the world's ways that sometimes the world, oftentimes the world will conflict with God's ways. You know, there's power in God's Word to actually, the written Word, to bring the Word of God to pass in your life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says the Word of God is alive. It's living. It's active. It's alive with the life of God in it. God breathed that word. He spoke the word, and it's written down for us, but the very word of God itself has the life of God in it to be able to bring it to pass. So you have something, when you have the word of God, you have something that's supernatural. It's not just black ink on white pages. It has its own ability to make itself come to pass. God's word is the only power in all the universe where someone can be born of the Spirit of God. By God's word. That's the only thing that can change the human spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We become a brand new creation. It never existed before by the word of God. God's word is the power to transform us. It has the power to heal the sick. It has the power to cast out demons and even to raise the dead. Mark chapter 16. Jesus said that. I wonder, do you believe that? That's the word of God. That's what you hold. Wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs chapter 4, 7 says wisdom is principle. In other words, that word principle means it's the priority. It's the highest thing and rank that you can get. So wisdom is to be the thing that we're searching for. Every day is a wisdom search. Every day we're searching for the wisdom of God. God, we can find it in creation. We find it in the Word of God. We can find it in the church. We can find it among people. We can find it wherever we are, if we search and pay attention, God has a variety of ways of talking to us. And wisdom is principle, so it needs to be the first thing that we seek after here in this world. And so tonight, Wednesdays, I say we're searching for wisdom. If you walk out of here tonight and you don't get a piece of truth that you did not know before, then you didn't get wisdom. Wisdom is life-changing. You don't need a whole bunch. You just need a little bit. A little bit goes a long ways. Look at this in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, above all and before all, do this. Get wisdom. Write this at the top of your list. Get understanding. And then it describes women as the personification of wisdom. It doesn't use men. It says women. The personification is called a female. Throw your arms around her. Believe me, you won't regret it. Never let her go. She'll make your life glorious. She'll garland your life with grace. She'll festoon your days with beauty. That's out of the Message Bible. I love that. Look what wisdom will do for you. Make you a better person all around. There are two ways to make the Word of God the first place in your life, the principal thing. Number one, You have to make a quality decision at some time in your life, and I presume that probably most of you have already done this. That's why you come to church on Wednesday nights. Make a quality decision that the Word of God is your first and your final authority in your life. When you need solutions, when you need to know what God thinks of something, when you need to know what to do about something, you may get opinions from other people. Opinions and advice is the cheapest thing in the world. You can get it from anybody. But the Word of God is the one that has the final authority in all matters. Whatever God says about a matter should be and needs to be the final say-so. Even if your pastor says something else, even if your mother or your father says something, God's Word needs to be the final authority. And you have to make a decision in your life at one time or another what you're going to believe is the final authority, the final decision maker. What God says about something is the final word. Boom, that's it. You make that decision and you'll notice your life start to change for the better. And God will give you wisdom. And number two, if you're going to make wisdom the principal thing in your life, you got to plan your day, your life, around the Word of God. Not try to add the Word of God to your life, because you'll never be able to do that. There will always be something else that's taking your attention. So you got to make a quality decision that the most important thing for me in my day is to spend time in God's Word. Welcome back, Jeff. Jeff, we're glad you're here. We were just talking about you. Yeah, it was all good. All good. We're glad you're okay. Welcome back home. So you've got to make the determination that, you know, the priority of my day is time alone with God and His Word. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I believe probably the majority of you already do that. That you center your busy life around the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 is a great scripture to memorize and meditate upon. It says that this book of the law, or the Word of God, is written unto you that you may take it and meditate upon it day and night. And if you meditate upon it day and night, you'll make your way in life prosperous and you will have good success. Now, that's the Word of God. So when you read the Word of God, you got to believe this is God speaking to me personally. I'm not reading it just to get information. I'm listening with my heart for God to talk to me through this Word. That's how I read the Word of God. I believe God is talking to me every time I read the Scripture. And so Joshua 1:8 tells us you don't just read the Bible like a book. You meditate on the Word. What's the difference? Well, if you check yourself in reading, if you just read without speaking out loud, your mind is going very fast like that. You can speed read. If you read by speaking out loud, you'll slow down. But meditation is not reading. Meditation is, if you can excuse the word, regurgitating. It's the word for a cow that has multiple stomachs, that when the food goes in, he chews the cud, it comes back up, he chews the cud, then it goes down to another stomach. And the digestion process is over and over and over again, ruminating. And the idea of when you meditate on the word, you slow down. And you think slower. When you read God's Word, you listen to the inside of your heart. You listen for God to speak to you. You listen for the Holy Spirit, expecting God is talking to me through this Word. And that Hebrew word there is the word haggah. It means to mutter it to yourself. You know, you take one scripture. That's what I'm going to encourage you to do tonight. Take one scripture and let yourself hear yourself saying that word over and over again. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto the path. And as you begin to do this, you're meditating with the Holy Spirit, and He will bring revelation and insight and illustrations and things that have happened to you lately or things that have happened to you in the past to your mind that deal with this scripture just being opened up to you. It's like it'll open up to you. You'll get more than just black ink on white paper. You'll get something because the Holy Spirit is unpacking revelation just for you. It's personal. It's customized. You know, we don't know much about meditation in this world on our part of the Western Hemisphere because we're going at such a fast pace. Even our reading, we can sit here and read the Bible and then you, moment later, don't even remember what you read. You're going too fast. Scripture is not meant to be read fast. It's meant to be meditated on. Chew it. Get the nutrients out of it. It would be better to read one verse of Scripture than six or seven chapters and not get anything out of it. Just get the nutrients. Let God speak to you. Let His medicine go into you. Let His peace come into you as you just unpack a one verse or one word even. Be still and know that I'm God. That right there, just tons of revelation come to me when I meditate on Psalm 46, verse 10. And you have favorite scriptures too that you just... you think on over and over again, and then the Holy Spirit brings it back to your remembrance when you need it because you've meditated on it. You've got the nutrients out of it. You've unpacked it. Psalm 39, verse 3, the psalmist says, "While I was musing, the fire burned within me." What does he mean, musing? That's a word we don't see much of anymore. Well, you may be familiar with this word. Amuse. Are you amused when you watch TV? You are. You're amused. What does that muse mean? The word muse means to think. And the word, the A, or the preposition in front of that, means not. You go to an amusement park so you don't have to think. You watch TV to be amused so you don't have to think. There are times I like to do that. I sit down and watch Andy Griffith's show. It's my therapy. I notice this is an amazing thing. Every time, every day that I watch the Andy Griffith show, I don't kill anybody. I don't cuss. I don't do anything bad. I'm just joking with you, you know, come on. It means, you know, there's a time we need some amusement where we can just sit down and chill out and relax. But to muse, the psalmist is saying, when I was sat by the fire, when I mused, you know, have you ever stared into a campfire? Just watching the flames? It just captures your attention. He says, the fire grew hot within me. He's talking about meditating on Scripture. He's talking about musing and meditating on thinking on the Word of God. And as I did, I started to feel the fire of God burn deeply within me. Are you understanding? I want you to try this week. Try this. Take one scripture and make it your meditation scripture for a week, for the rest of this week. Let's say to at least Sunday. One scripture. If you don't have one right now, in a moment, you'll get one. I want you to meditate upon it, but I want you to do this. I want this to be the last thing that you look at before you go to sleep at night. Write it on a little 3x5 card. Keep it with you. One verse of Scripture. And preferably not one that you already know, because you have a tendency to not just push it aside, but one that's new to you. Write it on a 3x5 card. Keep it by your bed, your nightstand at night. And before you go to bed, before you close your eyes to go to sleep, look over it, go over it, say it out loud to yourself. First thing in the morning, as soon as you get out of bed, there's that card. Take that card, look at it, read it, say it out loud to yourself. So at nighttime, your subconscious mind is still working. Let the last thing that you put in your mind at night be the Word of God, the Scripture. You'll be surprised. The Holy Spirit will take that and ruminate in your soul over and backwards and forwards and think about it. And within a few days, you won't have to worry about trying to memorize it. It's already in your heart. You're engrafting it into your heart. And what I recommend with you, when you start doing this, because you're honoring the Word of God, you're making it the first thing in the morning, the last thing at night, Then I want you to make sure you keep a notebook with you. I try to carry a notebook with me almost everywhere I go, as much as possible. You can be driving down the road, and all of a sudden, when you start meditating on the Word of God like this, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will drop thoughts down into your mind. And I've had to pull off the side of the road and start writing down something that the Holy Spirit was giving me while I was driving. Or you'll wake up in the morning, or you'll wake up in the middle of the night because your dream. You had a dream that was associated with something that you're meditating on. So you're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with, and He will take that, and He will give you revelation and unpack tons of revelation, because God promised in His Word, if you meditate upon the Word both day and night, you will be prosperous and you will be successful. God wants you successful. So you be prepared for that revelation to come. Number three, you'll notice that you have supernatural peace. And that's a principle of the Word of God. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. So you'll have a peace that you didn't have before, because now you're making the Word of God your focus. You're honoring God. And this word, perfect peace, is actually shalom, shalom. You'll have shalom on the left side of your brain, shalom on the right side of your brain. Shalom, shalom, perfect peace, as you keep your mind stayed on God, because the world is constantly trying to distract you. Look here, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this advertisement. Watch this television show. How many ads come up on your computer when you're going somewhere? So you've got all these distractions that are around you. And so this is the key to renewing your mind. Keeping a scripture. I say keep one in the barrel. Okay? Keep a living scripture that you're meditating on throughout the week, so that you don't have to think of a scripture when you're being tempted or when your mind's going somewhere it shouldn't. You've already got one in the barrel. All right? You're loaded. You're deadly. Because you got the Word of God, and it can quickly come out of your mouth. See? And so you got to learn that this is God's Word to you. It's alive. It's not a dead book. This thing's alive. I can hear it breathing. It's got your name in there. God is talking to you through the Word. You got to receive the Word as if God is talking to me through His Word, because He is. Now, let's just nail this down tonight. Here we are in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. If you don't have a particular scripture, this is about three verses, but I would recommend that you take this scripture. Use this one. This will prompt you to go deeper and deeper into the Word of God. Now, I want us to say this out loud together. Proverbs chapter 4, I'll say 1, 2, 3, and let's all say it out loud together, loudly and boldly, okay? 1, 2, 3. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to all who find them, and health to all their body. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, if you don't have a scripture, there's your scripture. Write it down. Go home. Look at it tonight. First thing, go over it. Whenever you have a break, a moment, and during your day, if you're sitting somewhere, you're waiting on somebody, get that scripture. Go back over it. You're going to start prospering spiritually. And then it's going to affect every area of your life. Notice, if you've been with us on Wednesday nights, how many times since Proverbs chapter 1 through 2 and chapter 3 and now chapter 4, how many times have we heard God say, my son? Several times. My son, I want you to attend to something. And that's a Hebrew word that literally means to prick the ears. Do you remember back in school on a cold day and somebody would come up behind you and flick you on the ears and how mad it'd make you? Yeah, no, and y'all, yeah. This is the idea. He's saying, get your ears to perk up. It's like with the ears on a horse or a donkey. You know, they have the ability to turn. And a donkey or a horse can hear you, and they'll turn their ears toward that sound. And this is what God is saying. I want you to attend. I want your ears to be attentive when I'm speaking. Believe that God is speaking to you. And right now, even through this preacher, God is speaking to you. He's saying, I want your ears to perk up. Notice he says, incline your ears. Incline, not decline. Incline your ears to my what?
Saying.
What's a saying? But what's a saying? Lee, does Joe have any sayings that he says over and over again that you constantly, yeah, that's what Joe would say?
Yeah.
Got a lot of them, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, your grandmother, your grandfather have any sayings? Your parents have any sayings? You remember what they always said? Anybody got one you can share? You have a saying? Anybody have a saying? What is it? I can't hear you.
It's all a bonus.
It's all a bonus. Okay, that's a good saying. Jesus had a lot of sayings. You know, something that he said over and over and over and over again? 16 times. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He said that over 16 times. It was a saying. And we have sayings. And a saying is that God is saying to you, pay attention. When you've heard something from me more than once, that's a saying. Oh, I heard God say this to me this week in my quiet time. Then I heard it when I was listening to a preacher on TV. Then I read it in a book. Then I saw it in the scripture. Those are sayings. God has been saying something to you over and over again. More than once. Are you understanding? Incline your ear to that. If you've heard something more than once, incline your ear to that. Pay attention. God is trying to communicate something to you. Then he goes on to say, do not let them depart from your what? Your eyes. Your eyes represent focus, represent your attention. If someone were to offer you right now, say, look, I'll give you $1 million cash for one of your eyes, $1 million, would you take it? No? How about $1 billion? No, you got two eyes, come on. $1 billion? No, you wouldn't do it because it's precious to you. Your sight is precious to you. In the same way, your eyes represent your attention. God is saying, you know, you let your eyes focus on my word. You know, it's interesting that scientists have been doing some studies on attention spans, and they're finding that attention spans are shrinking. In the year 2000, a study was done on attention spans, and they noticed that the attention span had dropped about 8 seconds to down about 8 seconds. It was like 12 seconds. A goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. How someone measured that, I have no idea. Attention spans are dwindling. You know how hard it is to try to preach to people on Sunday morning or Wednesday night? I'm serious. You got to use some humor. You got to do something to try to keep their attention because people take a commercial break about every so many minutes. Because the media has trained our way of our brain. We have to take a commercial break. We'll be right back after this commercial. We have to do that. And in church, we have to, if we're going to communicate the word of God, you can't just stand here. You got to move around. You got to talk to people. You got to, but not you folks. You folks are really great. You folks are wonderful because you're hungry for the truth. And that makes a big, big difference. But to the average person who's not been churched and so forth, it's very difficult to keep their attention. Very difficult to keep their, and the devil knows that. So he plays on that as well. So we have to make sure that we learn how to focus on the Word of God. When you read, how many of you can start reading the Scripture, and next thing you know, you start to get sleepy? Wonder why that is. Or you get distracted. You ever notice that you say, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to have my quiet time with God, and next thing you know, your phone rings. Someone's at the door who's never at the door. See, I don't believe those things are coincidence, and I don't think it's always the devil behind everything, but much of the time the devil is out to distract us because he knows how easy it is to distract humans. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 12. To a scripture. Mark chapter 4, parable of the sower. Jesus described four types of soil. Only one was good. So in essence, the sower is sowing the word of God. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to sow the word of God into what I believe is good ground. But Jesus said there are four types of ground, or four types of hearts. There's one good, there's one that's thorny, means the weeds are there and they're choking out the word, and those could be distractions. There's rocky soil, it's shallow, and then there's a path of busyness where there's too much traffic going on. So only one out of every person who sits in church on Sunday morning typically is good soil. One out of every four. Yeah. And you can't tell by looking. Where's the word of God going to stick? Where's it going to lay down some roots? Where's it going to mature fruit? One out of every four. That's what Jesus talked about. So God says in his word in Proverbs 4:21, he said, don't let them the words depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. What you focus on fills your heart up. Your eyes, your attention span. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Matthew 12:34. So if you really want to know what's in a person's heart, listen to them talk for a while. If they talk about what the news is all about, the politics is all about, then that's what's in their heart. What should be in our heart? What God is showing us, what God is saying to us. Something alive, something that's going to live, something that's going to produce fruit. And so notice he says in verse 22, for they, the word of God, God's word, are life, and it's the word Zoa, not Zoe, but Zoa, which is the very life of God. God's words are the life of God to all who find them, and health to all their body. You compare this to, let me show you in Proverbs chapter 3, again, something we looked at a few weeks ago. In Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible makes it really clear that you can get health, physical health in your body, and a long life from God's word. Proverbs chapter 3, and it says, verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days, and long life will they add to you. Now, do you remember the difference between, he says, length of days and long life? Do you remember me talking about this several weeks ago? What's the difference? Long life is living a long time. What is that today? I don't know. I mean, you'd be 100 years old, that'd be considered a long life, okay? Well, so what's length of days? That's health. What good is long life if you don't have health? If you're sick in body, if you're laying in a rehab and you don't have health to get up and do the things that are in your heart, what good is it? God promises, he says, if you attend to the word of God, my son, and don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, and guess what? You'll get length of days, health to your body, and long life. Who doesn't want that? Anybody? Anybody say, I'll take that? He says it's right there, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Now, you claim that. Psalm 91, verse 16, the last verse in Psalm 91 that you're all familiar with. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. With long life will I satisfy you. Long life, if you want to live a long time, but you'll be satisfied. You've fulfilled your calling. You've done what God wants you to do. With long life will I satisfy you, and I'll show you my Yeshua. The word salvation is the word Yeshua, the word for Jesus. God says, I'll show you my Jesus. That's how your life will get satisfied. God's going to show you Jesus. Show you how Jesus does things, how Jesus works through your life, how Jesus does miracles, how Jesus heals your body, how Jesus protects you, how Jesus provides for you. With long life, I'll satisfy you. I'm not satisfied yet. Anybody here satisfied with your life? You ready to get on the next bus to go to heaven? I mean, it's okay. We'll pray for you. You can do that. There are some people that say, pray for me. I want to die. I want to go to heaven. And I do. I pray for them. Well, praise God. That's wonderful. You're satisfied. I'm not satisfied yet. I got things to do, places to go, people to see, the gospel to share. You're not satisfied yet, are you? Okay. Then it's not time. God would put in your heart, if it's time for you to go, he would put it in your heart, you need to be satisfied with that. I'm going to take you on home. Okay, I can be satisfied. But if you're not satisfied, then guess what? You got calling on your life. You got things to do that God wants you to do. And he's going to show you Jesus in a greater way than you've ever known. So when we talk about, let me land a plane here. I didn't realize what time it was. God wants you healthy. Amen. If he didn't want you healthy, why would he heal you? Why would he promise healing? Why would he say, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed, they'll recover? Why would he say, by my stripes you are healed? Why would he say that if he didn't want you well? He wants you healed. And the devil wants to make you sick. The devil wants to attack your body. The devil wants to make you miserable. And one of the ways that the devil tries to do that is by stealing your peace. Stealing your peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but I give you my peace, supernatural peace. And so peace is to rule in your heart. You know, when you don't have peace ruling in your heart, it causes a lack of ease, or we would say disease. Out of ease, out of peace. When you're out of peace, you're anxious. When you're out of peace, you're worried. When you're out of peace, you're angry. And your body lives in that fight or flight adrenaline that it's not supposed to live in for long periods of time. And an overdose of that stuff causes your arteries to clog up and everything else to shut down. Constant fear, worry, anger cause disease in the body. God intends for us to be in peace always. Fear not, 365 times. So the Bible warns us in verse 23, the wisdom of God is teaching this tonight. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Message Bible translates it this way: keep vigilant watch over your heart, for that's where life starts. The Living Bible says it this way: above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything in your heart. So guarding your heart is your responsibility. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. So that means you can control it. We all have troubles to deal with, but we keep troubles out here. We don't let them get in here. Once we let them get in here, then we got trouble. It's just like a boat. Water outside the boat is okay. Water inside the boat, Houston, we got a problem. Okay, so keep your heart clear from the trouble getting on the inside. Let's stand up and praise God. Thank you, God, for your word tonight, for your wisdom tonight. We thank you that you want us healthy. We thank you, God, you want us happy and you want us holy. And we thank you that that's all available to everybody here. So may we take one piece of truth home with us tonight, meditate on it, and see the difference. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. There's a lot of these gospel tracts up here. Help yourself, please. Okay.
Trying to take a nap. God woke me up and says, remember that song? When I hear his praises, yeah, Lord. He says, go get it. I'm like, what? Yeah, go get it. Go get it right now. Go print it off. I want you to do it. I have a little music going on in my bedroom. Just maybe I can run it. Printed it off and stuck it. Thank you.